Why looks your grace so heavily today?
Oh, I have passed a miserable night, so full of fearful dreams, of ugly sights, that as I am a Christian faithful man, I would not spend another such a night, though 'twere to buy a world of happy days. So full of dismal terror was the time.
What was your dream, my lord? I pray you tell me.
The thoughts that I had broken from the tower and was embarked across to Burgundy. And in my company, my brother Gloucester, who from my cabin tempted me to walk upon the hatches. Thence we looked toward England and sighted up 1,000 heavy times during the wars of York and Lancaster that had befallen us. As we paced along upon the giddy footing of the hatches, we thought that Gloucester stumbled, and in falling struck me that thought to stay him overboard into the tumbling billows of the main. Oh, Lord, I thought what pain it was to drown, what dreadful noise of waters in mine ears, what sights of ugly death within mine eyes. Methought I saw 1,000 fearful racks, 1,000 men that fishes gnawed upon, wedges of gold, great ingots, heaps of pearl, inestimable stones, unvalued jewels, all scattered in the bottom of the sea. Some lay in dead men's skulls, and in the holes where eyes did once inhabit, there were crept, as 'twere in scorn of eyes, reflecting gems that wooed the slimy bottom of the deep and mocked the dead bones that lay scattered by.
Had you such leisure in the time of death to gaze upon these secrets of the deep?
Methought I had. And often did I strive to yield the ghost, but still the envious flood stopped in my soul and would not let it forth to find the empty, vast, and wandering air, but smothered it within my panting bulk, who almost burst to belch it in the sea.
Awake you not in this sore agony?
No, no. My dream was lengthened after life. Oh, then began the tempest to my soul. I passed, methought, the melancholy flood with that sour theremin which poets write of, unto the kingdom of perpetual night. The first that there did greet my stranger soul was my great father-in-law, renowned Warwick, who spake aloud, "What scourge for perjury can this dark monarchy afford, false Clarence?" And so he vanished. Then came wandering by a shadow like an angel, with bright hair dabbled in blood, and he shrieked out aloud, "Clarence is come, false, fleeting, perjured Clarence, that stabbed me in the field by Tewkesbury. Seize on him, furies, take him unto torment." With that, methought, a legion of foul fiends environed me, and howled in mine ears such hideous cries that with the very noise I, trembling, waked, and for a season after could not believe but that I was in hell. Such terrible impression made my dream.
No marvel, Lord, though it affrighted you. I am afraid, methinks, to hear you tell it.
Ah, keeper, keeper, I have done these things that now give evidence against my soul for Edward's sake. And see how he requites me. O God, if my deep prayers cannot appease thee, but thou would be avenged on my misdeeds, yet execute thy wrath in me alone. O spare my guiltless wife and my poor children. Keeper, I pray thee sit by me a while. My soul is heavy, and I fain would sleep.
I will, my lord. God give your grace good rest. Sorrow breaks seasons and reposing hours, makes the night morning and the noontide night. Princes have but their titles for their glories, an outward honor for an inward toil. And for unfelt imaginations, they often feel a world of restless cares, so that between their titles and low name, there's nothing differs but the outward fame.
Oh, who's here?
What wouldst thou, fellow, and how camest thou hither?
I would speak with Clarence, and I came hither on my legs.
What? So brief?
It is better, sir, than to be tedious. Let him see our commission and talk no more.
I am in this commanded to deliver the noble Duke of Clarence to your hands. I will not reason what is meant hereby, because I will be guiltless from the meaning. There lies the Duke asleep, and there the keys. I'll to the king and signify to him that thus I have resigned to you my charge.
You may, sir. It's a point of wisdom. There you are.
Can I stab him as he sleeps?
No. You'll say it was done cowardly when he wakes.
Why? He shall never wake until the great judgment day.
Why then, you say we stabbed him sleeping.
The urging of that word, judgment, hath bred a kind of remorse in me.
Huh? I'm not afraid.
Not to kill him, having a warrant, but to be damned for killing him, from the which no warrant can defend me.
I thought thou hadst been resolute.
So I am. And let him live.
I'll back to the Duke of Gloucester and tell him so.
Stay. I'd really stay a little. I hope this passionate humour of mine will change. It was wont to own me but while one tells 20.
How dost thou feel thyself now?
Faith, some certain dregs of conscience are yet within me.
Remember our reward when the deed's done.
Soon. He dies! I forgot the reward.
Where's thy conscience now?
Oh, it's the Duke of Gloucester's purse.
When he opens his purse to give us our reward, thy conscience flies out.
It is no matter. Let it go. There's few or none will entertain it.
What if it come to thee again?
I'll not meddle with it. It makes a man a coward. A man cannot steal but it accuses him. A man cannot swear, but it checks him. A man cannot lie with his neighbor's wife, but it detects him. It is a blushing, shame-faced spirit that mutinies in a man's bosom. It fills a man full of obstacles. It made me once restore a purse of gold that, by chance, I found.
Oh.
It beggars any man that keeps it. It is turned out of towns and cities for a dangerous thing. And every man that means to live well endeavors to trust to himself and live without it.
Tis even now at my elbow, persuading me not to kill the Duke.
Take the devil in thy mind and believe him not. He would insinuate with thee but to make thee sigh.
I am strong-framed. He cannot prevail with me.
Spoke like a tall man that respects thy reputation. Come, shall we fall to work?
Take him on the costard with the hilts of thy sword, and then throw him in the Malmsey butt in the next room.
Oh, excellent device. Make a sovereign soft.
He wakes. Strike! No. We'll reason with him.
Where art thou, keeper? Give me a cup of wine.
You shall have wine enough, my lord, and on.
In God's name, what's like that?
A man! As you are.
But not as I am, Royal.
Nor you, as we are loyal.
Thy voice is tender, but thy looks are humble.
My voice is now the king's. My looks, my own.
How darkly and how deadly dost thou speak. Your eyes do menace me. Why look you pale? Who sent you hither? Wherefore do you come?
To
murder me?
Aye.
You scarcely have the hearts to tell me so, and therefore cannot have the hearts to do it. Wherein, my friends, have I offended you?
Offended us, you have not. But the king...
I shall be reconciled to him again.
Never, my lord. Therefore prepare to die.
Are you drawn forth among a world of men to slay the innocent? What is my offence? Where is the evidence that doth accuse me? What lawful quest have given their verdict up unto the frowning judge? Or who pronounced the bitter sentence of poor Clarence's death? Before I be convicted by course of law, to threaten me with death is most unlawful. I charge you, as you hope to have redemption, by Christ's dear blood shed for our grievous sins, that you depart and lay no hands on me. The deed you undertake is damnable.
What we do upon command.
And he that hath commanded is our king.
You only as vassals, the great king of kings, hath in the tables of his law commanded that thou shalt do no murder. Will you then spurn at his edict and fulfill a man's? Take heed, for he holds vengeance in his hand to hurl upon their heads that break his law.
And that same vengeance doth he hurl on thee, for false forswearing, and for murder too. Thou didst receive the sacrament to fight in quarrel of the house of Lancaster.
And like a traitor to the name of God? It's break that vow, and with thy treacherous blade unrips the bowels of thy sovereign son.
Whom thou wast sworn to cherish and defend.
How canst thou urge God's dreadful law to us, when thou hast broke it in such dear degree?
Alas, for whose sake did I that ill deed? For Edward's, for my brother, for his sake. He sends you not to murder me for this, for in that sin he is as deep as I. If God will be avenged for the deed, oh, know you, yet he doth it publicly. Take not the quarrel from his powerful arm. He needs no indirect or lawless course to cut off those that have offended him.
Who made thee, death, a bloody minister, when gallant, springing, brave Plantagenet, that princely novice, was struck dead by thee?
My brother's love, the devil, and my rage.
Thy brother's love, our duty and thy faults, provoke us hither now to slaughter thee.
If you do love my brother, hate not me. I am his brother, and I love him well. If you are hired for me, go back again, and I will send you to my brother Gloucester, who shall reward you better for my life than Edward will for tidings of my death.
You are deceived. Your brother Gloucester hates you.
Oh, no. He loves me, and he holds me dear. Go you to him from me.
So we will.
Tell him that when our princely father York blessed his three sons with his victorious arm and charged us from his soul to love each other, he little thought of this divided friendship. Bid Gloucester think of this, and he will weep.
Ah, millstones, as he lessoned us to weep.
Oh, do not slander him, for he is kind.
The snow in harvest. Come, you deceive yourself. It is he that sends us to destroy you here.
It cannot be, for he bewept my fortune, and hugged me in his arms, and swore with sobs that he would labor my delivery.
Why, so he doth, when he delivers you from this earth's thraldom to the joys of heaven.
Make peace with God, for you must die, my lord.
Have you that holy feeling in your souls to counsel me to make my peace with God? And are you yet to your own soul so blind that you will war with God by murdering me? Oh, sirs, consider. They that set you on to do this deed will hate you for the deed.
What shall we do?
Relent and save your souls. Which of you, if you were a prince's son, being pent from liberty as I am now, if two such murderers as yourselves came to you, would not entreat for life? Even so, I beg as you would beg were you in my distress.
Relent? 'Tis cowardly and womanly.
Not to relent is beastly, savage, devilish. My friend, I spy some pity in thy looks. Oh, if thine eye be not a flatterer, come thou on my side and entreat for me. A begging prince, what beggar pities not?
Look behind you, my lord! Piglet! End that! If all this will not do, I'll drown you in the Mormsey but within.
A bloody deed, and desperately dispatched. How fain, like Pilate, would I wash my hands of this most grievous murder.
What meanest thou that thou helpst me not? By heavens, the Duke shall know how slack you have been.
I would he knew that I had saved his brother. Take thou the fee and tell him what I say. For I repent me that the Duke is slain.
So do not I. Go, coward as thou art. I'll go hide the body in some hole so that the Duke give order for his burial. And when I have my need, I will away. For this will out, then I must not stay.